Jesus, what do you need me for? I didn't mean to end the kirtan or that. I just, my drum playing is limited. Om Agnate Namdasya, Janata Namdasya. So we take time and wisdom, the people they know today, Siam, Dhamham, the Tati Sah, and we take one to cover to this child, creep us on the way with love, petite time, but we need to bless you. Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned from his travels to South India and his return to Puri. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has arranged a secluded place for him to stay. What was the other quality of the place?
Close to Jagannath's temple.
It was close to the temple. And then he met Kashi Misra, and Mahaprabhu gave him so much mercy immediately. He even showed him his forearm form immediately. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is now going to begin introducing all the devotees from Jagannath Puri to Mahaprabhu. Now, when Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, there were many devotees of Jagannath, but he did not have any followers there. And he changed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then because of that, because he was such a prominent person, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and of course other people in Jagannath Puri, they were watching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's extraordinary activities. His dancing, his chanting, his tears. They heard about his fainting in front of the deities. They heard how of his great scholarship. And while Mahaprabhu was away for 2 years, there were many converts to his movement. So they had never met Mahaprabhu before. So the Bhattacharya, who is Sarvabhauma, he said that Udkantitahanaitse Savetoma Mila Vare. They all want to meet you. They're very ikantika, they're very enthusiastic to meet you, all these devotees. All these people who are residents of Puri, Nalachale, Vaisa, they are residents of Puri. They have been very anxious to meet you. How long did they be anxious to meet him? Long. For 2 years. 2 years during that time they didn't see him, but yet they were always thinking, oh, what will happen? What happens if he never returns? Because, after all, he was traveling alone. And when one goes on pilgrimage, very often in the old days, when people would leave their homes and go to Badrinath or something from a different faraway part of India, the elderly people, they would say goodbye to their family, and it practically meant that they were not going to ever see them again in this life. One never knows what's going to happen, and that's what it means, really, to go on this type of a pilgrimage. One is learning how to depend fully on Krishna and place oneself in his hands. So, and also, so they were thinking that maybe he won't come back. And when they thought that, they felt very, very sad. What are we going to do? Watching the transformation that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had gone to, the depths of his transformation of heart, they would become very despondent. What does despondent mean?
Morose,
hopeless. What will be my fate if I'm never able to see Mahaprabhu? They had heard about him. So on one hand, they felt morose. Morose means like hopeless. And then on the other hand, they thought, oh, he's been away for 1 year already, or a year and a month, or maybe he'll come back today or tomorrow. So on one hand, they were sometimes feeling elated, and sometimes feeling morose. Oh, he's never going to come. It's away for so long. Then maybe he'll come tomorrow. And in this way, they were feeling spiritual, very deep spiritual sentiments about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In your absence, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, all these people have become exactly like thirsty chataka birds. Trishna chataka. They have become like thirsty chataka birds, crying disappointment. Kindly accept them. So now Mahaprabhu was sitting there in front of them, and they had gathered there. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being very, very open-hearted, he was begged Mahaprabhu, because he was the one who had the intimate relationship with him, that please accept them. Now, what does it mean that there have been exactly like thirsty chataka birds crying in disappointment? What does that metaphor mean? They are like thirsty chataka birds crying in disappointment. So that's not something spoken of nowadays, a comparison that's made. What does that mean? What is a chataka bird? What is the special characteristic? Do you know?
Are they being attached to the moon?
They're attached, but not to the moon.
They only want to take the water direct from the cloud.
Yes. They only will drink water. They won't drink water from the ground. I've met old, many years ago, well, these people aren't practically in the world anymore, but I met one Brahmin lady who would not drink any well water. She would only drink water from the Ganga or from a flowing river. This is old standards. These are smarter type of standards. We met them, by the way. Now I understand more about your heritage and your culture and how difficult it must have been for you. Because we were there. We stayed just like 20 kilometers from Sringeri.
Oh, okay.
So right in the heart of it.
Yeah.
On one level, right in the beating heart of smarter Brahmins. And also it's Kankri. And we found that it's also called Parshuram Chetra.
Parshuram Chetra, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So they've been like chataka birds. Chataka bird has, by his inherent nature, he has vowed, not that he's really made a vow by choice, but is that he won't drink any water unless it's not from a river and not from a well, but unless it's coming down, raining from a cloud, He'll only drink that water as before it hits the earth. So when he sees a rain cloud, he's so thirsty, because he only will drink this very rarefied, special, purified water. So he's so thirsty, so he must follow the rain cloud. Now, what is the difficulty when you're following a rain cloud? Sometimes you get rain, and sometimes you get thunder and lightning. But the fact that he may get thunder and lightning sometimes and sometimes rain, it doesn't make any difference to him, because this is his vow. He's only going to drink this kind of water. So whether he gets hit by a thunderbolt or he gets the water that he requires, he's helpless. He's going to do this anyway. So the chataka bird, so the devotees are compared to, and Prabhupada has once translated it, chataka bird as a thunderbird. You've seen that little conversation? Yeah, with Prabhupada, he calls it a thunderbird. He's taken this vow, and Rupa Goswami has placed a verse describing the chataka bird and comparing him to a devotee in his book of prayers and songs, called Srila Rupa Goswami's songbook of his originally composed songs. That's a compilation of different padas. It's called Stavamala. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he also has a compilation of his songs and prayers called Stavavali. So these two books are very dear to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because their moods are placed within these books. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has four song books. One is called
Sharanagati.
Second one is called Kalyan Kalpataru. And then there's Gitavali and Gitamala. And they're all quite different from each other. But he is placed within that, and they're quite famous, or they were quite famous in Bengal before call centers reached Bengal. So the chataka bird, when he's thirsty, he's following the cloud, he's hopeless. This is what he has to do. Whatever his fate is going to give him, he accepts, and he doesn't change his path or his vow. So the devotees, whether they get the thunderbolt or they get the rain cloud that nourishes them, they are still fixed in their firm determination to follow the blue cloud, Shyamasundara. So when they're thirsty, they make a very piteous, heart-touching cry. So in your absence, all these people have been exactly like thirsty Chataka birds, crying in disappointment. Kindly accept them. So these are all transcendental emotions. And this is very pratical, very helpful, favorable for spiritual life, to cry for one's, due to one's thirst, Krishna, thirst for Krishna. And on the other hand, one of the things that block our advancement is called asatrishna, thirst for the temporary. So after this introduction, who is going to be the first person? All the devotees are there. Who is he going to introduce first? I think no one will know. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya introduced Janardana, saying, here is Janardana, a servant of Lord Jagannath. He renders service to the Lord when it's time to renovate his transcendental body. So that takes place after Snanayatra, which is 2 weeks before Rath Yatra. So when is Rath Yatra this year?
It's July 17th.
So 2 weeks before that will be Snanayatra in July. And we'll be in Hong Kong if Krishna allows us. Is there a Rath Yatra in Perth?
In October.
Yeah. In Jagannath Puri this year, the Rath Yatra is a special one. You know that? Because of the Navakalevaram they make. It's been a very long time. The last one was in 1996, where they replaced the transcendental body of the Jagannath. Not every 12 years. It has to do with an astrological calculation when two of 1 month's asad, I think, appear in 1 year. So sometimes it's 12, 14 years, sometimes it's 19 years. So this one was 19 years. It's got to do with these two of the months appearing in 1 year, like two Januaries or something, which is very special. But in using a lunar calendar, these things happen. So here's an introduction to Janardhan. During Anavasara, after the Snanayatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath is absent from the temple for 15 days so he can be renovated. This occurs annually. Janardhan, who is here being introduced to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was rendering this service at the time. He was rendering this service at the time. The renovation of Lord Jagannath is also known as Navayovana, which indicates that the Jagannath deity is being fully restored to youth. So very interesting. He's being introduced, Janardhan, in relationship to the Lord and service. So nowadays, it's when people introduce themselves, especially, it's not in Indian culture, it's not in Chinese culture, but one is introduced in American culture and now more and more in Australian and even Kiwi culture. They just introduce by their first name. Just say, this is my first name, whatever it is, whatever your name. First name is given name. So in more traditional cultures, you're introduced by your name in relationship to your family. So it gives you a perspective or a bigger identity than here is one individual. So this was always is done. Like even in Chinese culture, this the surname, the family name, is the first one that's said, and then the other names are explained after. Because that's the more important one, is who you're in relationship to. So here, the most important relationship one is introduced in relationship to that most important relationship, and that's service, saying that I am a servant. He says, Jagannath Sevaka Enam Janardana. So he's Jagannath's servant, Sevaka. So therefore, if you love Lord Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu loves Lord Jagannath, so how will you feel about his servant? Immediately, you'll experience love. So very, very sweetly, the culture is causing Mahaprabhu to, he's trying to elicit love from Mahaprabhu for Janardhan. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Krishnadas, who carries a golden cane, and here is Shiki Mahiti, who is in charge of writing." So Shiki Mahiti, we know, is a very, very he becomes a very intimate follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the most intimate of followers. Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, Shiki Mahiti, he would even discuss the most intimate pastimes of Radhakrishna with Shiki Mahiti. Purport. The person in charge of writing is also called Dolakaran Padaprapta Kamachari. He is employed specifically to write a calendar called Matala Panji. So what do you call a calendar in Gujarati? In Bengali they call it Panjika. What is it called in Gujarati? What is a calendar called?
Panchang.
Same, practically speaking. And what is it called in Mauritian?
Calendar.
Oh.
Calendar.
Like calendar. That's Creole of some Creole. Sort, yeah? Creole. You can also speak Creole language?
Yeah.
And French, too?
Mm, yes.
And Hindi?
Yes.
And Tulsi language? I think you do. That's the language of bhakti. You take care of Tulsi, and Tulsi takes care of you. Then, text 43. This is Pradyumna Mishra, who is chief of all Vaishnavas. He is a great servitor of Jagannath, and his name is Dasa, Prabhupada's purport. In Orissa, most of the Brahmins have the title Dasa. Generally, it is understood that the word Dasa refers to those other than the Brahmins. But in Orissa, the Brahmins use the Dasa title. This is confirmed by Chulivata, someone's name. Actually, everyone is Dasa, because everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that sense, the bona fide Brahmana has first claimed to the appellation Dasa, the name Dasa. Therefore, in this case, the designation Dasa is not incompatible with him being on the topmost position of society. Misra means, it's a Brahmana name, Pradyumna Mishra. So, see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before his sannyas, what was his name?
Mm-hmm.
And his family, his father's name was? Jagannath Mishra. Yes. So, if someone is a servant of Jagannath, Mahaprabhu is also immediately going to feel affection. And if someone is a Mishra, he's going to feel affection for him, especially. And this is what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wants. This is Murari Mahiti, the brother of Shiki Mahiti. He has nothing other than your lotus feet. So when someone is so surrendered to another, to the Lord, to the Lord's servant, to the Lord's representatives, to Mahaprabhu, that he knows nothing other than his lotus feet. That's what is it? How would you translate that into in more words? How would you expand upon the meaning of that? He has nothing other than your lotus feet.
He has taken complete shelter of the Lord.
Yeah. So he's completely surrendered to you. You're his Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. And he values nothing other than you and your service. For him, you are everything. He has given his heart to you completely, fully. So how does the Lord reciprocate with such Saranagata devotees, surrendered devotees. How does he reciprocate? So he gives himself, he's Bhaktavatsalya. This is how he likes that name. He likes to be known as Bhaktavatsala. That how much he's a lover of his devotees. So this is Yayatamam Prapadyante from the Bhagavad Gita. What's the full verse? So what is the meaning? You know the meaning?
As when surrenders to Krishna also reciprocates accordingly.
Everyone follows my path. Yeah. Everyone is on this path. There's no one who is free from this law of existence, that Krishna, whatever situation there is, one is in, that it is a reciprocation of Krishna, from Krishna. No one is independent of this. So if someone, and Prabhupada said, that if you love me, or if you love Krishna, he's also said it about himself, but if you love Krishna, then Krishna will love you. He loves everyone already, but he will reciprocate with you. If you are neutral to him, then he will reciprocate in that way. He'll be neutral to you. So then Prabhupada said, when he said this very in the very early days of the movement, he said, so what is your capacity to love? So you're going to love Krishna, you give your little capacity to love to Krishna. But then he reciprocates. And what is his capacity to love? It's unlimited. So we give him a leaf, a fruit, a flower, water, something. We give him something, some of our time or all our time. But whatever we can give, it's a little bit, because we are limited. And Krishna's ability to reciprocate is unlimited. So who is the winner, so to speak, in a relationship with Krishna? Who has the most to gain and who has the most to lose? It's a living entity who gains. And if we don't open up this relationship, or if we limitedly open up the relationship, we lose. It's our loss. Next. Here, Chandaneshwar, Singheshwar, Murari Brahman, and Vishnudas, they're all constantly engaged in meditating on your lotus feet. What do you think about that? This is their qualification. What do you think about that?
Like someone does.
Yeah. This can't be imitated. It is a natural product of great devotion. It is a natural aspect of love, that naturally one thinks of one's beloved. How many times today did you think of one little baby? How many times today?
Many times.
Many. You can't even count how many times. So just naturally, your mind goes there. It's just natural when there's love. The thought follows the heart. So in other words, he's saying how much these devotees love you. They've never even met him. They've perhaps seen him and they've heard about him, but this is the first time they've met him. So how potent is just seeing Mahaprabhu or hearing about him? This, the next one, this is Paramananda Paharaj, who is also known as Mahapatra. He is very, very intelligent. Mahamati. He has great intelligence. He's approached your feet. This is the proof of how intelligent he is. He's known as intelligent, but see how intelligent he is. Purport. Prahararaj is a designation given to Brahmins who represent the king when the throne is vacant. In Orissa, between the time of a king's death and the enthronement of another king, a representative must sit on the throne. This representative is called Praharaj. The Praharaj is generally selected from a family of priests close to the king. During the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Praharaj was Paramananda Praharaj. So what does the title mean? Let's see who is listening. Title of Praharaj, what does it mean? What does it designate?
In the period after, when the king passes away, until a new king is appointed, the Praharaj will occupy the seat of the king.
Okay. Now, in Kali Yuga, once one touches that seat, it must be very hard for him to get off again. Because you get a taste of power. And power is very addictive, very heavily addictive. So these people who would be in that position, and say if the king died and the heir to the kingdom, what is the crown prince called? How do you say it in Sanskrit?
Yuvraj.
So sometimes they were young. They were like, say, 4 years old, or sometimes they were 10 years old, or sometimes they're 15 years old, or 20, or 17. They weren't mature enough to take on the great responsibility of ruling the kingdom. So the Praharaj, they were called the king's regent. They would actually make the decisions for the king, because he wasn't mature enough and advise him. So he could be sitting on the throne, practically speaking, for 10 years, maybe, or maybe even more. So what kind of a person would you trust, the king trust, to be this Praharaj? He'd have to be very intelligent and from a very good Brahmin family, unattached to power. So he was so trustworthy, so intelligent. And look who he's taken shelter of. He's taken shelter of Mahaprabhu. All these pure devotees, 47, e sabha vaishnava, e chetrera bhusana. They're like ornaments to Jagannath Puri. They're always undeviatingly meditating upon your lotus feet. So how exalted. What does it mean that they are ornaments to Jagannath Puri? Jagannath Puri is the ornament of ornaments, because Lord Jagannath lives there, and the temple in Nalachala is there, the Jagannath Puri temple. Raise your hand if you've been to Jagannath Puri. Raise your hand if you've not been to Jagannath Puri. So you have to go on another gallery tour very quickly and visit in that way. It's the same feeling is there. So although Lord Jagannath is seen as so beautiful, and the temple itself is so beautiful, but ornaments make beauty, someone who's beautiful, even more beautiful and more wonderful. So these nowadays, if you look at the type of ornaments people wear, Prabhupada used to even mention it to you that time. He said nowadays they wear ornaments out of the bangles, out of plastic. And before, everyone was gold. And even in Rajasthan, you see that the ladies, even village poor ladies, no one wears plastic bangles. That's always silver, big, thick silver bangles and ankle. What do you call them? What are the ankle bangles called? What are they called? Anklets.
Janjar.
Huh?
Janjar,
because they make a sound like that when they... Mm-hmm. So after this introduction, now Mahaprabhu was there, everyone, dandavatai, they paid their dandavats, they fell to the ground like rods, like danda sticks. Being very merciful upon them all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced each and every one of them. At this time, Bhavananda Roy appeared with his four sons, and all of them fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How many sons? Does anyone know how many sons Bhavananda Roy had?
Three.
Wait a second. He appeared with his four sons. So he definitely didn't have three, but he had four sons. But he had, because if you have five sons, you also have four sons. Yes? Is that true? If you have five sons, you have four sons, right? If you have $1,000, you also have $100. Mm-hmm. Right? It's correct or it's not correct? So Bhavananda Roy appeared with his four sons, and all of them fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Bhavananda Roy had five sons, one of whom was the exalted personality known as?
Ramananda
Roy. Bhavananda Roy first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhavananda Roy first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after his return from South India. At that time, Ramananda Roy was still serving in his government post, so Mahaprabhu got back before he did. Ramananda Roy took some time to tie things up. Therefore, when Bhavananda Roy went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his other four sons. They were named, does anyone know the names? Two of them are more famous than the other two.
Vaninath
Roy. Now, Vaninath is going to get, there'll be something special about him. Another one?
Gopinath.
So what? How is Gopinath famous?
He's raised on the...
How is Gopinath? What a silly question, especially here. Gopinath Patanayak. He was raised on the... Why?
Because he insulted the son of the king who wanted to...
The Yuvraj.
Claim back his... money from the king.
Yeah, so he was a bit of a spendthrift. He would spend the king's money, this Gopinath Patanayaka. And the result, he insulted the crown prince, and the crown prince decided to teach him a lesson. So it appeared that they were almost going to kill him. Gopinath Patanayaka. So this boy, despite his materialism, his seeming materialism, he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved his entire family, from father and each one of the sons. So the result of this terrible mishap, on the simplest external result, and when he was being killed, going to be killed, he was simply chanting the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was just chanting and chanting the name, taking deep, deep shelter. So he was in danger, and the way he was going to be killed, they had a raised platform, and they took all the swords and put it underneath, and then they were going to push him off the platform to his death on the swords. So very, very painful, very, very frightening. And Gopinath Patanayak was just chanting the name of the Lord. So he was saved, and he was given more wealth by the king. And it's very, very touching. After this has happened, he's brought before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what he says to Mahaprabhu is very wonderful. He says, "Look what's happened to me. I did something bad. I was misusing the king's money. And I was going to be put to death. But because I was your devotee, I got a result that was the shadow of the result of doing, was that I was given a more elevated position as a result. But this isn't the real result of becoming your devotee. It is just the shadow of the result," something like that. "The real result is far, far, far more wonderful." So, therefore, when Bhavananda Roy went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went with his other four sons. They were named Vaninath, Gopinath, Kalanidhi, and Shudanidhi. Kalanidhi and Shudanidhi. Those were the other ones. What were the other names?
Kalanidhi and Shudanidhi.
Yes. Yes, now you know them. Now I know them too. I forgot the other two names. Kalanidhi and Shudanidhi. Nidhi means?
Ocean.
Nidhi. You know anyone named Nidhi? Shudanidhi and Kalanidhi. Text 50. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, "This is Bhavananda Roy, the father of Sri Ramananda Roy, who was his first son, Pratama Putra." Very Sanskrit-y. How do you say in Hindi? Elder son? Baraba. How would you say?
Baraba.
Yeah. Baraba. But son? That was older brother. But how do you say the older son?
Barabeta.
Barabeta. So?
Big son. Barabeta.
Yeah. Pratam Putra. Sanskrit. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Bhavananda Roy and with great respect spoke of his son, Ramananda Roy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored Bhavananda Roy by saying, "The glories of a person who is a jewel of a son like Ramananda Roy cannot be described within this mortal world. You are Maharaj Pandu himself, and your wife is Kunti Devi herself. All your highly intellectual sons are representatives of the five Pandavas. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's praise, Bhavananda Roy submitted, "I am in the fourth class of the social order," because he wasn't Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. He was Kayasta class. In some places, the Kayastas are considered high, and some places low. So he is considering himself low. "And I engage in mundane affairs. Although I am very fallen, you have still touched us," because Mahaprabhu would embrace them. "This is proof that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So here's Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidya Vinaya Sampane, who knows that verse? And the meaning? Vidya Vinaya Sampane.
Virtue of acquired knowledge sees with equal vision that a learned Brahmin, a cow, a dog, an elephant, a dog.
Gavi? What is Gavi?
Elephant.
No, that's Hasti. Gavi is cow. Cow, Hasti, Shuni Chaiva, Swapakicha, the dog eater, and the Pandita Samadarsana. I've heard this also described when you say, because Samadarsana means he sees them equally. Why does he see them equally?
Because he sees the souls that are equal of what they're out of body.
Yeah. So he sees the soul. He doesn't see the body, he sees the soul. But another way to describe it is that he sees the super soul within the heart. He sees, this is also described in Shastra, he sees the Paramatma in everyone's heart and therefore respects the Paramatma, described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. But then another meaning would be he sees within them Sama Darsana. The pundit sees, he has darshan of Sama. Sa means with, and Ma means Lakshmi Devi. So who is with Lakshmi Devi?
Narayan.
So he sees Narayan in the heart. And then another way to look at it, he sees, and who is with? So he sees Lakshmi Narayan in the heart. Another way, he sees Radha and Krishna, because Srimati is the supreme Ma. So here's continuing Prabhupada's purport. The humble sage, by virtue of his true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Those who are highly advanced in spiritual understanding do not care about a person's material condition. You have to act practically in dealing with a person according to his conditioning, or soul according to the conditioning. But he doesn't take the conditioning as the person. A spiritually advanced person sees the spiritual identity of every living being, and consequently he makes no distinction between a learned brahmana, a dog, a chandal, or anyone else. He is not influenced by the material body, but sees a person's spiritual identity. Consequently, Bhavananda Roy appreciated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement, which showed that the Lord did not consider the social position of Bhavananda Roy, who belonged to the Sudra caste engaged in mundane activities. Rather, the Lord considered the spiritual position of Bhavananda Roy, Ramananda Roy, and his brothers, because they're very, 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 very particular. I can't remember who was telling me that when he was growing up in the village, he was from a Brahmin family, and if he touched a Sudra boy, his grandfather would make him bathe when he came home, if they were playing or something like that. So it was very, very strict. That's smarta, straight smarta. So very, very strict, and yet Mahaprabhu, not only did he touch people of so-called lower caste, but he embraced them willingly, happily, with affection. So Bhavananda Roy was saying, "This is an exhibition of your magnanimity of heart and your complete spiritual vision. So Prabhupada is philosophically explaining this. Rather, the Lord considered the spiritual position of Bhavananda Roy, Ramananda Roy, and his brothers. The servant of the Lord is also similarly inclined. He gives shelter to any person, any living entity, regardless of whether one belongs to a Brahmana family or a Chandal. The spiritual master reclaims all people and encourages everyone in spiritual life. By taking shelter of such a devotee, one can make his life successful. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasa Abhira Shumba Yavana Kashataya Ye Anye Cha Papayad Apashrayashraya Sudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama. Kirata Huna Andra Pulinda Pulkasa Abhira Shumba, Yavana, and the Kasha races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His, the Supreme Lord, being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. That was the translation of the verse. Whoever takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His pure devotee is elevated to the spiritual order and purified from material contamination. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamhi parta vyapashrita ye prisyu papayoneya stiyo baishas tata sudras tepiyanti paramgatim. Next text. Appreciating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favor, Bhavananda Roy also said, along with my home, riches, servants, and 5 sons, I surrender myself at your lotus feet. This is the process of surrender. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa deha geha yokichu mora harpilu tuapade nanda kishore. When one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he does so with everything in his possession. His house, his body, his mind, and whatever else he possesses, he considers these things not mine. He considers them himself managing them on behalf of the Lord, and they are the Lord's. If there is any obstruction to this surrendering process, one should immediately give it up without attachment. If one can surrender with all his family members, there is no need to take sannyas. However, if the surrendering process is hampered by so-called family members, one should immediately give them up to complete the surrendering process. Bhavananda Roy continues, this son, Vaninath, will remain at your lotus feet to always immediately attend to your orders and serve you. So he stayed for Mahaprabhu's time in Puri. He stayed with Mahaprabhu very close and rendered service. There's a specific service that he specifically rendered to. And I may remember it, and I could say what I think I remember, but I better not because I may be wrong. My dear Lord, please consider me your relative. Do not hesitate to order whatever you desire at any time. Do not hesitate to order whatever you desire at any time you desire it. Atmiya Gyane, consider me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Bhavananda Roy's offer, saying, I accept without hesitation because you are not an outsider. Birth after birth, you have been my servant along with your family members. Sri Ramananda Roy is coming within 5 to 7 days. As soon as he arrives, my desires will be fulfilled. I take great pleasure in his company. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Bhavananda Roy. The Lord then touched the heads of his son with his lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Bhavananda Roy back to his home, and he kept only Vaninath Patanayaka in his personal service. Savaboma Bhattacharya. So we'll continue next time. Any questions? Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Yes, he said when the Lord has touched the feet of... No. The Lord has touched...
Placed the head. With his feet.
With his feet. So normally people touch the head and then with the feet of the Lord.
But normally, Mahaprabhu very rarely put his feet on anyone's head. Very rarely. This is a very very special blessing. He did that too, I think, Sanatana Goswami. So normally people touch the Lord's feet. So where is the... So why do people do that?
To get the blessings.
Yeah, to get blessings. So they want blessings, whether the person wants to give them blessings or not. And to get rid of all their sinful reactions. Please accept all my sinful reactions. Thanks. So it's coming from you. You want something. You want blessings. Asirvad Maharaj. But when the Lord, out of his own accord, decides to bless you by placing his lotus feet upon your head, then what more is needed to desire? What are you going to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to... I had a question. So you clarified it, that it is the initiative taken by Mahaprabhu to bless them.
He wanted to bless them.
Yeah, he wanted to.
He himself desired to bless them. He embraced Bhavananda Roy, but placed his feet. So which is better? Huh?
Mahaprabhu's blessings.
He embraced Bhavananda Roy and placed his feet upon the heads of his sons, four sons. So which is better? Both are very good.
Very good. Different rasa.
Different moods.
Different moods, yeah.
Because Bhavananda Roy was obviously, he was elder. So he wouldn't do that to Bhavananda Roy. He was senior to in age. Mahaprabhu always was careful in following the Sadhacharya etiquettes. And that used to frustrate Sri Advaita Acharya. Because he would show respect to Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya would wait till Mahaprabhu fainted in ecstasy, then he would... his pastimes about that.
Bow down is first to give respect, I think so. Then blessings comes.
Naturally.
Once you bow down means to give respect.
Yes.
And then opposite person or guru who is there, it depends upon him to bless him or what to do.
But that's his part of it, the relationship.
Yeah,
correct. That's what he wants. But our part is to
give respect.
To give respect.
Correct.
So at least we should do that.
What about the etiquette of like Indian culture? Like, you know, the more junior, they pay respect by touching the elders, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if they still do it, but even when we first went to Hong Kong in 1970, even when we would watch at the airport when the elderly mothers would come from India, their children were in, so immediately they would, when they saw them, they would touch their feet.
So that is more of a respect, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is what Sokwai was saying. And what do the mothers do? Well, immediately they put their hands on their head to bless. Mm-hmm. Is there something like that in old Chinese culture?
Chinese culture also, we do bow to our parents, mourning, or we wish our parents, some they bow. If they're very traditional, they also bow to the early part of the morning.
First time is.
But it's not really being practiced like nowadays.
Of course, well, same thing with people only bow to the internet, to their mobile phones and to their computers. Sure, it's vanishing in India. Because after all, according to what they learn in school, they learn about evolution. Yes? So who's more evolved, the parents or the children? According to evolution, huh?
Sure.
So who should touch whose feet? Really? I mean, that's the way the people grow up. I mean, the young people, they think my parents are so foolish, they don't even know how to surf on the internet, and I mean, what to speak of faith. They don't even know how to use Facebook, how primitive they are.
I think the same mood is fine when a young devotee comes into his ISKCON and no fanatic, he has the same mood towards his parents that they are not devotees and he has become a devotee.
But it's there are similar parts that I think that as you outgrow that, there's similar parts you outgrow that. Just simply the children nowadays, very often they're frustrated by their parents, but then when they get older, they appreciate it. Same. That's, I think, what you were going to say. When they become a little more mature. Okay, we don't want to go late, otherwise it becomes inconvenient for you all to visit us. And then if you don't visit us, we will feel sad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Gopinath ki jai. Srila Maharaj ki jai. Hare Hare Bol.